Hello, friends, and welcome to a special issue of Portographic.
And why is it special, Brian?
Well, first off, I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
We are recording, sitting inside Three Trails Brewing in historic Independence Square.
I can't imagine a cooler place to be right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, for our first live podcast, I mean, pretty awesome that we're getting to do it at a brewery.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And one that we love all their beers.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've had them before on the podcast. And a little bit later, one of the owners is going to join us and talk about beers and, you know, the journey of becoming a brewer and
the
all
brew
that
process.
Jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So big thanks to Three Trails for letting us come and set up here and take up a huge corner of their brewery. And
yeah. All right, and now we're joined by one of the owners of Three Trails Brewing.
Hey, guys. Kyle Winan here, one of the owners of Three Trails Brewing. Happy to be on here. Just my first podcast ever, guys, so really appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you letting us come here and set up. And
this is our first live podcast that we've done out in public,
in the real world.
So we're pretty excited about being here. So.
Yeah, well, good little backdrop for your first one here, right by where all the brewing equipment is. And
absolutely,
stuff.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah. Oh, loud bang! So, to start off, how did this all happen? Like, how did you start out in beer? How did you get to be one of the owners of Three Trails Brewing?
Sure. So many years ago, I got into home brewing with one of my best friends named Charlie. He just was a guy that introduced me into the home brewing world. And through many years with that, I got an opportunity about 2015 to kind of enter my first ever homebrew competition. And I did that and had a little bit of success. Through that success, I ended up getting into a few more things and found an opportunity to get feedback more than anything on a beer that we had worked on. We call here Westward Wit. That'll be a beer that we're going to be releasing this summer. It's a classic wit beer loaded with oranges, real refreshing beer. So I sent that to Ballast Point for their 20th anniversary homebrew competition in 2016. Just feedback, just like, hey, I know I'm making beer, going to all these events, and a lot of people say, hey, your beer's great, but that didn't really mean anything. I was trying to get some real established brewery to tell me what we were doing.
Of course.
Is that valid? Does this taste good? Are we on the track for anything?
Ballast Point's a big one, too.
Yeah, very, very large brewery. Hadn't quite started distributing in Kansas City yet, but that was right before they did. And so I just said, hey, let's see what happens. So we send that off. A few months later, I get a call. And one of the just crazy things you never think is going to happen. And they told us we had won the Midwest region.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So with that beer. And that was, you know, just going up against some of the people that are considered the greatest brewers in America, you know, through the Midwest, up to the upper Midwest, where there's breweries popping up all the time. I just didn't think that was at all on the radar for us.
Yeah.
And so that beer goes on, and they fly us out to California. We brew that in their R&D system in Little Italy. Just something unique for a really kind of an early attempt into the competition world of brewing. So I just said, okay, well, I've hit something here. Let's see what happens. And just through that overwhelming support and stuff that Ballast Point gave me, and that time that I was there, and everything that was involved, was just really what pushed me in this direction to want to look at the opportunity of opening a brewery. Through that process, I ended up winning third in the nation out of 600 entries across the whole United States on that one beer. So that was my drive. That was like a what they call in a lot of the world as a proof of concept.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Of course.
So that's what I used as my proof of concept. That's what I was going to pitch to investors. That's what I was going to pitch when I looked for a place to open a brewery. That's, you know, what my base was going to be off of that. So a little after that, I was talking to the guys over at Crane. Yeah, great guys. Love Crane. Make amazing sours, great beers. And they, I said, hey, you know what? I've had some success at some of their events. And thought that was a way in. I was looking for a mentor, looking for someone that had recently done it. So I go talk to them, and Chris Myers was just open arms immediately and saying, hey, he's one of the owners there, and just said, hey, yeah, I'll take you in my wing. I'll tell you what I know, how this happened, how we did it. I'll give you any help that I can. So out of that whole thing, one day I get a little text from Chris. It says, hey, what's your phone number? He messaged me through Facebook. And I gave him my phone number, and I get a call from Jody Kranz, who's the Independence EDC person that was looking for development of business in Independence.
Okay.
So yeah, that's where that all one little event bubbled into to all that, to being contacted by the city looking for someone that wanted to open a brewery.
So did they come to you with the idea of being on the square?
They came to me and said that initial call was about, hey, we're looking for a brewer because I've got a guy that just purchased a building, and he's looking at possibly putting a brewery in, and it's on the square. So yes, there it was a direct. It was kind of a little bit. The city had looked at Independence, and a lot of people had said we want a brewery here, or they looked at it as a key component to the square here in getting the square to be redeveloped and moving forward. And that's where I met one of my partners and the partner of the owner of the building, Matt Medley. And so I pitched my brew concept to him there, and that we went from there.
Awesome.
So
what I love is that the craft community, instead of seeing each other as competitors, really seem to bond together and help each other out, and that's pretty unique.
Yes, I love the community. There is every aspect of the brewing community is just amazing. It's really unheard of and unfounded for businesses to want to be open and share so much with each other, all for one personal, just for one group of success.
Yeah,
it's not personal. They're not all personally trying to do better than each other. We look at it as the only way that we all succeed is if we all help each other.
Yeah, so. Because you're against the evil empire. Butweiser. Well, like when we toured Crane, you know, they had like one, one piece of equipment that, you know, they shared throughout the rest of the craft community in Kansas City. And I thought that was pretty unique. And so what did this building used to be? What's the history of this?
So this building has a lot of history. The right here on Square at 111 North Main is where we're at, in Independence Square, very, very historic square. It used, from what I know, it was called the Emporium. That's when I got involved. It's had other uses throughout the history. It's got, it was a Sears outlet at one point. More recently, older than that, it was two separate buildings. One burned down. It was a furniture maker on one side that burned down. And really, because it burned down is how we got the ability to put a brewery in this space. Because when they did that, they put some infrastructure in place that allowed us to, put our brewing equipment over concrete as opposed to a wood floor.
Okay. Awesome. So you have how many brews on tap right now?
We usually have around about 10 on tap. I think we've got 8 right now. There's 2 that we just are in the process of remaking and putting back up there. And we've got a couple more that are in the works. So we've got a double IPA that should be coming out here soon.
Okay.
Speaking my language.
Yep. And we've got a couple barrel age projects we're doing. One's going to be a whiskey barrel project. That beer's going to be called A Dangerous Game.
Okay.
And then we have a Saison that was just put in some wine barrels to sour. So we'll have another little sour out there.
Nice.
We have that going on. And then we're real close to our first bottle release. We're going to be doing a bottle release. It's a variation of the Trail Dragger that we've had on tap for a while. That's an Imperial Stout. It's got, this one will have vanilla bean and cacao nibs into the bottle. Just got finalized on the logo. Got to do some logo work to get it approved to be able to sell in the retail. But that'll be our first retail release of
a
bottle.
That's awesome.
And that part's a pain, isn't it? Getting the logo and all the wordage correct on the label.
Yeah. All the little pieces you have to have and sizes and things. It took a little while to get our first label done. But yeah, after that, it should go a little smoother. It's just getting everything you want on there. And then there's a whole another piece of legality that has to go on with the TTB in the state of Missouri before they have to prove everything on there and make sure the wording's right, not misleading the public on what it is and what the ingredients are. There's a lot of little other pieces that have to go into the label that before it gets approved and released to be sold to the public. So.
And so when can people expect that in stores?
I think we're probably looking at probably another month.
Okay.
Somewhere around a month, maybe a little more than a month and a half, month, just by the time it's the first process we're sending through the TTB with the federal side of that to get a label approval for a retail sale. It's already been approved in Missouri. We just have to amend it with the label. So maybe, just don't know how long the process will go when we go through the federal side.
So sometime this summer, though, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, oh yeah, should be, you know, shouldn't be too much longer.
Sweet.
That's great. So if you can, talk a little bit about like your head brewer, and because yeah. I think listeners will probably recognize where he's come from. And
yeah. Real quickly before I do that, I wanted to mention that when we did, when I did meet up with Matt and we did partner with him, we ended up did bringing in another partner, and I didn't want to forget leave him out of that whole conversation. But Brian Clark, he's a very integral part of our business too, and
okay.
and he's another the owner. So it's Matt Medley, who owns the building and is also a partner, and then Brian Clark, who is an owner, and then myself. But I just want to make sure I didn't leave him out of that conversation there before we moved on to the head brewer.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But our head brewer. So basically, it's very rare. I feel like I haven't hired a lot of people, but you know, or anybody really. That was my first hire ever. But I had a vision of who would I want to be my brewer. Who? What are the characteristics of who I want, and how would we want that person to be a part of our brewery? And my number one things and part of looking for that person was quality. I really feel like we're not going to give an exception to quality in the way we make beer, and I needed someone that wouldn't ever slack in quality. Okay, so that was my main goal, was I got to get someone that can make quality beer right away, that won't ever sacrifice on that, because in the end, I think whoever makes quality beer is going to be the ones that stay. The ones that can't find the way to make consistent quality beer are going to struggle, and that'll be part of what will be important in Kansas City, I feel. And it's important in all, you know, the craft world, but
for sure.
So we put the search out and didn't get a lot of, you know, immediate responses of a whole lot of, you know, got a whole backgrounds of all kinds of people, not exactly who we were looking for. And one day I get application from Jesse Rose is our head brewer. He came from Bell's, which not many people know, Bell's Brewery in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Had a very, very good experience and background in brewing. He's got a chemistry degree. He's got sustainable and brewing degrees. He's been to school with people like Michael Babbs, that was his teacher, that used to be the director of the Siebel Institute. So he just had a lot of really good qualities and exactly what we were looking for in a head brewer. And then to top it all off, he went to Rockhurst High School and he was a Kansas City guy.
There you go.
So we were like, hey, let's see if this guy wants to come to our little, you know, brewery here in Independence from brewing where he was in Kalamazoo, making, you know, many more barrels of beer than we do. So he gets comes into right on during Santa Calgon, came down, drove down, did an interview with us, came into the building, just really impressed all three of us. He was the only one that took a water sample. Most people, you know, there's a little bit of that, a quality of water you have in your building. And I mean, I never really figured that we didn't have quality water being in Independence, and Independence's water is continually the top water in the United States, in the top three, top five nationally, you know. So I knew we had a pretty good, decent base of water, and that's the water I was using to brew beer. So I figured, hey, but that was a really cool, one of the really perks that he did, was took the water back to Bell's, had them test it, knew what his baseline for water was. And, you know, that was just one of those things that, you know, this guy's who we want.
So like
attention to detail.
Yeah. And that's all part of the quality.
Yeah.
And he knows his craft, definitely.
So We did four beers. Yep. We had flight. So we did In Control, What a Ride, Cali Rush, and then the Emporium Pale Ale. So where did those come from? Those from you, from him, combination, yep, collaboration?
So, nope. I basically don't. These are all Jesse's.
Okay.
Just to be real short on it. These are all beers Jesse made. These are all with little input from us. This is, the way I wanted to do this was, I didn't want to be a over controlling person that told him what I want and needed to brew. I wanted him to naturally come in, make the beers that he was comfortable with, break in our system, get to know it, and then I would slowly kind of bring in the couple beers that I wanted to bring over from my past. So we haven't made any of those yet. Westward Wit will be the first one that we do. That's the one I've won the most awards on. And then we might bring in one we call Truman Slow Stroll. It's a white IPA. So those are the two that we're close to doing, and I might do another one that's a little fun if I can find some stuff over here at the Uptown Market and try to pull out of that and do some little other fun things. But yeah, these are all his. The one on the list that really points out to his direction is Norbert.
Yeah.
So Norbert was a beer that Jesse did a employee contest at Bell's. So all the employees got together and made their teams, and they got to enter beer into that, and then they judged it. Norbert won the Bell's employee contest and was on tap there at Kalamazoo in the Bell's tap room. So that was one beer he really targeted and said, I'm going to make this. I get awesome results, and it's not disappointed. It really has. I was just at Brew & Chew yesterday, and that was all day. Norbert.
It's certainly one of my favorites.
It's really good.
It's really, really good. Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's got to like a dark sour.
Okay. Yeah. So where did Three Trails, the name, the logo, where'd that all come from?
So the name, I really just was a, it's really not an uncommon name here in Independence, but when I was starting my homebrew, we needed a team name to enter into the first competition we ever did. And I just said, what else signifies or represents Independence than Three Trails? I mean, I went to school here for elementary and up, and we learned about the history of it so much. And through that time, I was like, you know what? I'm going with Three Trails. That immediately people are going to recognize that as Independence.
Yeah,
so, absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of the names of the beers are references to Independence as well, right?
There's a few of them. They're not always going to be the case that they are referencing Independence, but yeah, we try to do a little bit of that. And when I was a home brewer, I tried to do things that either were the history of Truman or history of Independence. And so there's a few more we'll sprinkle in that have those kind of names and feelings that fall in the history with the location. So
that's awesome.
Sweet.
So what turned you onto craft beer?
Well, I got really heavily into craft, I'm going to say, into my later to mid-20s, and I really just like the quality of ingredients. I got away from drinking, you know, domestic beers and stuff and feeling horrible in the morning. And I went over to this craft beer that I was like, wow, they were just
actually
full of more flavor.
Yes,
just so much more flavor, so much more characteristics, so much complexity to them.
Yeah.
And it was always a fun thing trying to go around and try all these different beers. And that's what really, really got me into it. And I'm not ashamed to say, I don't know when the last time I drank a domestic beer. It's out of my memory. It's been years and years and years and years. And it's just something that's when I just, you know, got into this world, I just said, that's where I'm at. And I don't do it anymore. So I just drink. Well, now all I really drink is our beer.
So, as well, you should.
So what are some of the challenges of being a smaller brewery in a town famous, or even a state famous for brewing?
Yeah, well, the challenge really is getting your name out there. I mean, really, it's hard to start this little operation, and there's only so much social media that gets out there to everybody, and really getting a hold of all the people that are your customers. So we do a lot of little things. That's the biggest challenge. I mean, going to tasting events is the biggest. I mean, all day. Where are you located? On the square. Where at on the square? Independence, you know. Independence Square, 111 North. I mean, that's, I almost need to have a sign that just repeats the, you know, because that's what happens when you get out into the public, is that they want to know where you're at. I mean, and that's the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is everybody knows who the big guys are in town. They know who Boulevard is. They know all that. There's nobody that doesn't, that's in the craft beer world. But
right,
getting our name to them and letting them know what we're about, is that's the biggest challenge.
Do you see yourself, like, I mean, you have Jesse now as your head brewer and stuff. Like, do you still do any home brew yourself, or will you at some point try some different?
I might. I don't anymore now. I've really just been involved in, getting this thing off the ground and letting Jesse do his thing. I haven't got, actually haven't brewed that much with him when we brew beers here. But yeah, I don't, I might one day later on go back into brewing some stuff. I mean, I could brew my own beer and enter in competitions and do what I was doing, but I don't, right now don't have, not really doing that part of it. Kind of shifted to ownership and those kind of roles. Yeah.
So what's your favorite kind of beer? I know you're drinking a sour now.
Yeah.
And has your palate changed from when you started drinking craft beer?
Yeah. There's not too many. I don't like the super, super sour stuff yet. I haven't got into that. And some of the other versions of, that go along more stylistic to the BJCP guidelines and stuff. I don't really, there's some I don't like, but I'm a total hop head. I love hops. And then I can be a total, stout fan. So I go in any between that range, anything between that range I really like. But yeah, I will go for an IPA, double IPA. I like all the higher gravity stuff. I like all the not so much entry level craft beer stuff, but I like anything that's above that. But always IPAs, and always stouts. That's pretty much my two go-tos.
So are there beers that are easier to brew, harder to brew?
There are definitely some that are a little harder to brew, more not hard to brew. I don't think any of them are really difficult to brew. There's ways you can brew beer that makes it a little bit different, more difficult to make.
Okay.
But generally the length of time is the only thing that makes them hard. Fermentation is where is the part of the process that you have to have correct and what you repeat it. That's one of the most important parts of making beers, how well you ferment, making sure you keep temps at certain temps so you don't get different flavors and yeast that you don't want. Well, when you make a lager, that takes a while, you know, so that those are a little harder to make because you have to wait for the fermentation process to go through.
Okay.
There may be a few other Jesse might know that are a little harder to make, but for the most part,
it's timing.
It's timing. Yeah. It's time consuming. It's about how you manage your quality when you make during the process.
For sure.
So there's all that. So.
Okay.
Well, we are a comic podcast also, in addition to beer, and we know that comics love their crossovers and team-ups and stuff, so if there was another brewery that you could collab with or team up with, like a comic, what brewery would you like to team up with?
We got a couple answers for this I think is really cool. I'd love to do something with Apex. They're here in Independence, and I just think that needs to happen because we're the only two breweries in Independence, and I just think that would be a good way to cross-promote ourselves. But I would have to go back to Crane. I mean, just really because they gave me so much support and have continued to give us so much support in getting us off the ground. Crane would be one that we need to do at some point.
And that's cool.
Ironically, they sit along one of the trails. One of the three trails. So,
oh, really?
Oh, awesome.
Not near. Raytown is the, one of the pathways out. So
that's awesome.
Well, I think I already know what the beer is going to be called, whatever that trail is.
Who came up with the design for the bar? Because I mean, we've come here as a family and just, you know, played on the pinball machine, played Scrabble.
Yep.
I really think the barrel slats are awesome on the bar.
Well, thank you. Yep. I really have to give that to Matt and Brian. Matt and Brian did a good majority of the... We did it on the fly, but a lot of this is their creativity and design. We had a little bit of help from other people. The actual layout and design work was done by a friend of mine that was an architect. But the actual finishing touches and all this stuff they did a great job. I mean, I was involved in it a little bit, made a few decisions, but this is really a lot of, you know, their ideas and planning. But this is the look we wanted to go for. We wanted to be a comfortable, a warming feeling, a cozy place. We're all in hectic lives. We stressful jobs. I wanted the look and feel to be relaxing, some place where you want to hang out, can enjoy a beer. You know, that was our number one goal.
I think you achieved that.
Absolutely.
Very much
yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is the first... I've usually been in the evenings, and it's been kind of cooler. Like, this is the first time that I've been in with the garage doors open and stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Just an awesome view to sit there and enjoy a beer.
Yeah,
so.
These are the days exactly we had envisioned when we put the... When we made the decision to go to garage doors, just being able to sit at that floating live edge wood and look out onto the square right back at the courthouse is just beautiful. So
yeah,
it's just a really awesome spot. I can't think of too many other places I'd want to sit and drink beer. Really, is right there.
Yeah.
So you ready for the first Santa Caligon?
Yeah,
that's going to be pretty crazy.
We've been planning for that a little bit. It is going to be. It's a bit of an unknown. It's a bit of a challenge. We haven't hurdled yet. We'll see what that, you know, trying to prep ourselves for that as much as we can, and really, really looking to that as being a really awesome 4 days for us. So, I mean, that's we're in the prime location for that event. So.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So we've talked past, we've talked present. So
yep.
What's the dream?
Well, I guess the dream is we just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And I mean, the dream's Boulevard. I mean, right? But I mean, anywhere between there and here, I mean, successful. Just a successful brewery that sustains, you know, business for many, many years is really just continually bringing quality craft beer to Independence, to the local people, to this region. If we can continue to do that, that's where we're looking. Some of the smaller, immediate things we're looking at is we're going to, you know, soon this, later on this year, the summer, we're going to be able to self-distribute. So then we're going to be able to get some, that's growth, that's a growth we're really looking for. Some opportunities in that'll really help us get further reaching across, you know, Kansas City and the local. But yeah, those are... Those type of things. That's where we're at. We're just looking at trying to provide a quality craft beer and sustain it.
So you say quality craft beer, all that stuff, and we've had most of your stuff you have on tap here, and it's all been very good, very high quality, complex. You know, some of it isn't for me, like the Irish Stout wasn't for me. They loved it. To each his own, but. You can still taste the quality. What do you attribute, like, because like some craft brewing places when they open, like they have one or two standout stellars and then it's like mediocre. Like all of your stuff seems to raise that bar. What do you attribute that bar to?
Most of that bar, really the credit goes to Jesse. He's made all the beers. So he's the one that's making all the beers, and he's making to that quality. The other piece of that is we spent a lot of investment on making sure we had quality equipment so he could make a quality beer. So we bought all of our equipment from ABE out of Lincoln, Nebraska. They make a quality product that gives him the platform to make quality beer. So it's a little piece of both him, most of that goes to Jesse. Jesse just has that ability to really, really do that. He's gotten lots of really good, great compliments. We had Master Cicerone. There's not many of those. And Neil Witte, who installed our tap system for us and stuff. he tried the beers and was giving Jesse all kinds of compliments on the quality,
yeah,
and the cleanliness and the crisp and the beers are what they're supposed to be. And it really is just unheard of for that good of quality this early in the game. So
right, and that's why I asked the question, because I was like, you know, you go to other breweries and it's like, okay, I like this beer, and I'll keep coming back.
They can either do one thing really, one type of beer really, really well.
Exactly.
Or they can do a bunch of beers very generically, and I don't feel like that's what you're getting here. Totally. Everything from top to the bottom of the menu is...
The IPA tastes like an IPA. The sour tastes like a sour. I mean, it's not just mediocre all the way through. They're all really good beers.
Yeah, we really tried to make a list that appealed to everybody that might come in here. That was one of the things we
targeted. There is something for everyone. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah. So that, again, just really hats off to Jesse on that. I mean, that's really, really the what we were looking for as a must. We needed to hit the ground running. We needed to make quality beer. And he's really performed to this point on that.
Absolutely.
I think I've asked all my questions.
Yep. You good? Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I'd just like to let everybody know our hours.
Okay. So absolutely. Plug away.
We're open Monday, Thursday, and Friday, 4 to midnight, 4 p.m. to midnight. We're open Saturday, noon to midnight, and we're open Sunday, noon to 7. And that's most of our hours that we'll be going through this. When we're open, we do a little couple other things here and there, but, just Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Untappd. Follow all those things, and we'll keep you up to date on what we're doing with events and all, and where we're at, where we're going to be at pouring beer. If there are any changes, when beers are released.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love me some Untappd. That's a great app.
Yeah.
All right. So the EPA, that's my favorite.
EPA?
Yeah.
Yeah, Emporium. The Emporium. Yeah.
Which surprised me, because I thought it was going to be one of the IPAs, but the pale ale.
Yeah,
just I think very complex.
Were we all in agreement on that? Was that your favorite too?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot.
That's our first beer we ever made on the system.
Really?
So that beer was made with the ABE rep.
Huh.
So okay. I love the name. Kind of gives patronage to the history of the building. It was called the Emporium before we put the brewery in here, and so that was where the name came from.
That's cool. Awesome. See, we didn't know that before we drank it. Now we know. Yeah. So,
And that was, I mean, I kind of will skip over pale ales a little bit. And man, I'm glad we tried that one, because it was really good.
Yeah, it's I'm really impressed with that one too.
It's complex, and like you wouldn't assume it to be.
Right.
There's a smoothness and I don't know what it is, but like when we were tasting it, it like faded away to this flavor that just, it was nice. Like, I don't know what it was. I'm sure Jesse has an idea of what it would be.
Right. Well, I like Trail Dragger. Trail Dragger for that characteristic, like what you're talking about. We've all had plenty of stouts out there in the craft beer world, and a lot of them fall a little short. I feel like, or can fall a short, not all of them do. But there's a few that you're like, man, I'm drinking a stout. This should have way more flavor. So it's a very complex beer. When you make a stout, it's very full of ingredients. It's got the malt bill, the grain bill for that is way bigger than any other beer you'll make. There is just no way you should be short on flavor and complexity. And that Trail Dragger really does. I mean, it gives you all the flavors from first sip all the way through the process. You don't have a loss of flavor. The complexity's there, and that's a challenge. When I'm making stouts, that's what I was trying to do, was always to have all the flavor profiles and marry together well. Make the beer that should be complex with flavors have the complexity that it should have, and that sometimes gets lost in the process of as going to a commercial brewery.
So do you see yourself as having 8 to 10 all year round beers, and then doing like seasonal, or do you want to grow to where you have like 15 to 20 beers on tap, or do you want to try and keep it small and then have those special yearly seasonal beers that bring people in?
What we should probably always have right now, I mean, 8 to 10 is what we're having, what we have now. It depends on the cycling of when a few beers go offline and come back on. But I really, I've been talking to Jesse a little bit about, I want to do some fun stuff. We've got our pilot system. We can do some of the small batch stuff like some of the other smaller batch breweries are doing, and just for fun at low cost. And I want to get those to, we've got 20 taps. So
okay.
I'd really like to do some of the stuff like that, get some more beers on the taps, and basically have a little line of what the regulars drink, have a line of beers that's always here for the regulars that come in, and then make some beers that are for some of the crazy beer fans out there. You know, just a little bit in that same world of trying to make something for everyone. And then I would also like to do a series, if we could. Just ideas, but like to go to the farmer's market, grab local ingredients, make a beer out of that, and we can do that in small batches, and then just do small releases, and you know, make have fun with it.
I think that's probably the key, right? Is to have fun with it.
Yeah.
I thought I read you were looking at a grapefruit IPA.
I've made a grapefruit IPA. I don't know if I'll talk to Jesse if we're going to do that version of it or not, but my Truman Slow Stroll I did in the end of the homebrew world right before we opened, I did make a grapefruit version of that beer. We'll see. Yeah, I'm not too sure. We don't have that planned right now, but
fingers crossed. Schlafly made a fantastic one that I think I bought all of.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they discontinued it, so you'd have a customer right here.
Yep. Yeah, grapefruits are a little bit challenging to make. I mean, we all envision grapefruit as the sweet flavor of you know, that you get from a grapefruit juice if you buy it or somewhere. The raw, bitter part of the grapefruit that if you eat a raw grapefruit is not what people find pleasant. But grapefruit beers are often mostly aroma from the hops. So the hop arrangements that you use. So
okay.
Not always a lot of grapefruit in them. But it's hard. It's hard to get fruit to flavor through.
Yeah.
So
what's one beer that you haven't made that like is like the pinnacle of beers for you?
We really probably we're touching on all those. I mean, I really don't have, I mean, what I really feel like you have to have today, you have to have a really solid New England IPA. You got to have a really solid IPA and then stout. So, I mean, those are the ones that you really got to have on tap, and then the other ones that fill in a little bit between that pale ales and some other lagers. Craft lagers are really, really coming on, and those are something. I mean, you just got to really. There's not really one pinnacle beer. I mean, if I want to make a pinnacle beer, Two Hearted, Bells, right? That's been the number one beer 2 years in a row in America. Before that, it was from Russian River. So okay. If I can make something on those quality levels, yeah, those are pinnacle. Just be able to make a beer that would be the top beer in the United States in the craft beer world would be really, you know, that's your pinnacle.
Okay, yeah. Sweet.
And that tends to be an IPA, by the way. So
Good stuff.
All right, so anything else you want to say?
I think that's it. I think I appreciate you guys coming out. We appreciate you coming in the tap room, supporting us, you know, supporting local, you know, independents, you know.
Yeah. We appreciate you allowing us to come in here and set
absolutely.
Up and take up part of your tap room. And
you've given us part of your time here too, and talking to us. So.
I guess I should say next weekend I'll be at Strother Beer Fest. That's in Lee Summit, Missouri. Okay. So we'll be pouring beer for those in Lee Summit or in that area that made it into the tap room. If you want to try our beer, that will be there. And then June 1st, we're going to be at Arrowhead Stadium for another KC Beer Fest, and that one's going to be on the field at Arrowhead.
Nice.
So they got some cool little packages with that. That'll be the next two things we're doing. And then we're also involved with some concert series here in Independence. So if you're May 10th, this is coming up next Friday, There'll be a concert over here at the Uptown Market, and we are the beer provider for that.
Fantastic.
Those events. So there will be four free shows in Independence this summer, and all four of them will be the beer provider.
Fantastic.
Cool.
All right, well, I appreciate you, like I said, opening up, coming to sit with us, talking with us, and yeah.
So. Yeah, thank you again.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Okay. Absolutely. Right.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this issue of Portographic, and hashtag break free.